If you would, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, as I read from God's Word. If you're able to stand. If you can't, that's all right to sit. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 7. But I determined this for my own sake, that I would not come to you in sorrow again. For if I cause you sorrow, who then makes me glad but the one whom I made sorrowful? This is the very thing I wrote you, so that when I came, I would not have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy would be the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask and pray today, God, that you would open our eyes. And Father, let us be on alert. Let us always be vigilant and sober-minded. And Father, let us always be on guard for when the devil comes to attack. Because we know that the devil wants to cause sorrow. The devil wants to cause division within the church body and in between friends. And Father, we ask and pray today that God, you would allow us to see through the Spirit that God, that we would know when the devil comes to attack, that Father, we would be on guard and that we would be ready. And so, Father, this morning as I preach this message, Lord, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And we thank you and praise you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the purpose of the message is basically that you will know how to reject all of the devices and trickeries that Satan uses against us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 on the next page, it says, "So that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." One thing that Satan likes to bring against us is disappointment. Every single one of us as Christian people, or even as human beings, we have all been disappointed by not getting what we want at certain times in life. Now, every single person has wants, desires, dreams, vision. I mean, there's so much that we look forward to doing in our life. And there's sometimes that we set our sights on something and we get so involved in it, we get excited and overcome, and we see ourselves, we start to almost daydream down the road what we're going to do with this thought, whatever it may be, or this idea. But sometimes those things don't work out, or maybe things don't go the way we think they ought to go in church. I can't tell you how many times I'll be going to church and I'm already thinking, man, this is going to be such a great sermon today. The Lord's going to move, and there's going to be people at the altar. There's people going to get saved, and we'll have baptisms. And I would be forecasting all of this stuff as I'm driving to church, And then right before service would happen, I mean, I was all pumped up and ready. And after I got done preaching, we had the invitation. Not one soul came forward. And I can't tell you how many times I left church and I was severely disappointed because things didn't go my way. How many of you have ever been through that you've been disappointed? And you know what? Disappointments are going to happen. I, as a preacher, will disappoint people because sometimes people get an idea of what the preacher ought to be like. And when the preacher doesn't fit that image or that role model, then people get disappointed in the preacher. Or people in the church get disappointed because others aren't stepping forward to take part and help out in like different areas of ministry. But Satan likes to use the disappointment because if he can keep you disappointed, it will also keep you from pressing forward and seeking after the things of God. If we remain disappointed, it's almost as if we have forgotten Romans 8:28 that says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." If you want to avoid disappointment, here's what I suggest you do. Trust God. Submit your will and your life to Him 100%. Now, it's okay to have hopes and dreams. It really is. You know, I had hopes and dreams of pastoring a big church. I mean, that's all I wanted. I wanted a big church with a lot of people. The program's already there. That really, I just fell into a good fortune. That's what I wanted. Well, guess what? God let it happen. And I think God did it. I know God did it to open my eyes. And I was severely disappointed in the fact that I wanted such a big church, that I wanted all these people, because I was in a place where the people just were not happy. The numbers were there. We had Sunday school. We had kids. But nobody was ever happy because it was a big church that was focused on religion and not focused on the Lord. So right away, I started to place my hope and trust in the Lord. And I said, "Father, whatever it is You want me to do, I trust You with it. I give You my heart, my life. I give You every hope and dream. And Father, the things that are not of You, get them out of my life." If we would pray daily to the Father and say, "God, I pray that Your will is done today," then Lord, I will be satisfied with that. And I'll tell you what, when you let God have His way in your life, when you let God have His way in the church, you will start to see things in a whole different light. When I come to church now, I don't say, "Well, I hope that this happens or that." I just say, "Father, have Your way in church. And God, You bring us the people that we need. Father, You take care of every need and You move in the service. And Father, I submit and surrender to Your will and authority." And you know what? Since I've done that for quite some time, I have never again been disappointed. And I've also learned not to be disappointed in people in church because I understand that people come from different walks of life and different backgrounds. Not everybody's the same. But if I give the people in the church to the Lord and I ask God to work through them in His timing, then I learn not to expect a whole lot. And I just let the Lord work and move, because when I let God take care of people's hearts and lives, when I let God bring people to where He wants them to be, He'll make everything fall into place in the church. Discouragement. Discouragement is the second thing. Discouragement or disappointment leads to discouragement. Now, If we continue upon this path of being disappointed, then we're going to get discouraged. And here's the one thing that I think probably every preacher faces. I've had young men come to me and say, I want to be a pastor. And I'm going, you better go pray about it again. And you better make sure that that's what God is calling you to do. Because I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people think that being the preacher is an easy job, that's very kind of laid back, that all you do is would sit in a church office and pray and make a few phone calls and then go home happy. It ain't how it is. But I can't tell you how many times that I let disappointment lead to discouragement. And as a discouraged pastor, I was not able to feed the flock. I was not being effective for the Lord. And when we get to a point of discouragement, you know what starts to happen? We start to look other places. This is what happens with our churches when you see five or six Baptist churches in one town. And you start to hear, everybody says, well, yeah, that one church, the First Baptist Church, used to be the main one. And folks got discouraged because things weren't happening like they wanted them to, because the disappointment was upon their minds and hearts for such a long time. And folks got discouraged, and then people started to bicker and fight. And then guess what happened? 10 or 15 or 20 of them said, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to leave that church. We're going to go start our own church. But guess what happened? Second Baptist Church got started, or whatever church they organized. And guess what went with them? Discouragement. Guess who went with them? The devil. And when discouragement went to Second Baptist Church, they built their church not on God and not on faith. They built that church on discouragement. And as they built the church on discouragement, it started to fester into, yeah, maybe a lot of people came because, boy, they had everything that people wanted. But once folks got in there and the discouragement started to grow, it affected certain folks. And then you had another group of 15, 20, or 30 said, I'm tired of this church. Let's go start our own. And then they go somewhere else in town, and Third Baptist Church has got started. And guess what went with it? See, you see how this pattern goes? Satan goes wherever the sin goes. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 and 28 says, fear not, neither be discouraged, our brethren have discouraged our heart. If you have discouragement in the church, it's going to affect everybody around you. It really is. If we let Satan have his way in the church house, he will continue to divide it. Thirdly, despair. Despair is the third stage of disappointment and discouragement. See, this all going to fall in line, so bear with me. Unless it's checked, it will destroy your Christian life. To despair is to forget about 2 Corinthians 4:8, which says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. To despair is to forget that God is working on our lives. If we let despair take a hold of us, then basically we're at a breaking point. But as I just read to you from 2 Corinthians 4:8, there is trouble on every side of us. I've said this so many times in this pulpit. Jesus said that in this world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus said this, I have overcome the world. And if Jesus has overcome the world, then what do we do with disappointment, discouragement, and despair? What do we do with those three things? We have to surrender them to the Lord. We have to get rid of them. If we are trusting in God as Christian people, then these three things should not even exist within our heart. If we are trusting in Jesus Christ to take care of every need and to lead and guide us, then we would be a joyful people. How many of you walk into church on Sunday morning with things on your mind that belong out there? Oh yeah, guilty. There shouldn't be one person with a hand down, really. I listened to this lady talk some years back, and she said, there is such evil in our family. The devil just tore us up. She said, every Sunday, my husband and I would just bicker and fight on the way to church, and the two kids in the back seat, she said, I'd turn around and I'd threaten to backhand them, told them to sit down and shut up. And she said, my husband and I literally would curse at one another and do it in front of our kids on the way to church. And she said, the moment we got to church, we got holy. We put on religion. And she said, they got out of the car, and what went from bickering and fighting went to, oh, well, good morning. God bless you. How are you today, brother or sister so-and-so? Well, doing great, but a blessed day. Yeah, it is a blessed day. Praise the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It does. It happens. I can't tell you how many times I drove my mother to want to run me up a telephone pole and leave me there, because my mother was in despair of raising me when I was a kid. But in the church house, in our church family, we have to trust the Lord to lead and guide us. Although that things rage on around us, God is our Savior and our light. He is our refuge. He is our mighty strong tower. He is the one who knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And if we are trusting in the Lord, then we should give up everything that's been weighing us down. I tell you what, I've seen people who live in despair, really. I've seen people who live in despair come to church and they sit with their arms folded and they got the meanest look on their face, and when you say anything to them, they just, you know, just grumble. And then they walk out so unhappy, and they don't have any friends. You know, I'm thankful that God has brought me to a place in life. I'm not saying I'm perfect now, so let me mark those words real quick. I'm not perfect. But I'm so thankful that God has brought me to a place where I don't live in despair. Yeah, you know what? I've been going through some mountains, and I've been going through some pretty deep valleys here lately. And the devil has come up against me quite a few times and says, quit. Get out of the pulpit. You don't belong there. You're not good enough. And I turn a deaf ear to what he's saying. And what I have to do, Lord, I don't have the strength within me. Yes, I am in despair, Lord, from the things I've been going through. But God, I need you to reach your hand down, and I need you to take this load off of me, and I need you to give me rest. And there's been times I've done that on my face in literal tears in the floor. God, I don't know why I'm going through this, but Father, I know that you're taking all the things that are being used, that the bad things that the devil is throwing at me, you're taking those and you're turning around and using them for my good. So, Father, show me what the good is in the bad situations that I've been facing. Whatever it is I'm walking through, whatever it is I'm living through, All I can tell you is every situation that I'm dealing with right now in my life, the devil is trying to break me and kill me. I promise you that. But I ain't quitting. I ain't never backing down. The devil may try to bring me to a place of despair, but I will not get there. If I focus my life, if I focus everything on Jesus, He will help me through each step of this life. I hope all of this is really making a lot of sense to you this morning. This is some pretty heavy stuff, and I really believe that the Lord wants our eyes open to what the devil is doing in this day and age. Last thing I want to touch on for this morning is doubt. Satan attacked Eve in the Garden of Eden by twisting God's words. You remember that Satan went to Eve and he said, "Now, surely God didn't tell you couldn't eat of every tree. It's okay if you go and have the fruit of the one tree that he told you to stay." See, because basically Satan took God's word, he took God's commandment, and he twisted it in such a way, it got her brain to really double-mindedly thinking, well, is what God spoke, was that truth? And Satan can do that. If you let Satan get inside your head, Satan will distort the things of God. And what did Eve do? Eve did. And I always say this, Adam should have been right by his wife's side. He should have been there. He was her helpmate. She was his helpmate. They should have been right there together. But see, when we get by ourselves, and when we get distracted from God, Satan finds us in that lonely place and he starts to fill our minds with thoughts like, nobody really cares about you. Nobody really loves you. Nobody cares what you're going through. Things in your life will never work out. Don't ever try to push forward and trust God because he'll always let you down. These are things that the devil has thrown at me so many times in my life. But yet I go back to God's Word and I see where Jesus died for me on the cross, and that's the greatest act of love ever shown to me. The Bible says that God is love and in Him there is no darkness. So I know that if these things are filling up my mind and I'm having doubts, then I know that I need to get out of the place where I'm at and I need to readjust my focus and I need to start opening up the Word of God and I need to start to read because, see, the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, they realized they were naked. They realized what they had done wrong, and what did they do? They ran and, well, they sewed fig leaves together because they realized they were naked. They realized they sinned, and then they went and hid from God. Sometimes it takes a lot before people realize, hey, I'm in a bad spot, and they'll go run and hide from God. And when people run and hide from God and they quit listening, and the more that they start to doubt, the farther Satan will drag them away from church. And that's why our churches are not filled up today, because people are doubting. People are living in discouragement. People are living in despair and disappointment. People have trusted so much in their own self, they rely on their own resources, they forget about God, and then you know what happens? They fall flat on their face. How many times have you heard somebody say, I was in this place in my life, and the only thing I could do was look up? Well, I hope we never let ourselves get to a point where we have to just fall and then look up. I hope that you and I as Christian people will always look up, that we will always look to God, that we will trust Him with every aspect of our life. I want to point something out. Now, I don't like the number boards. I used to love them, but I'm not saying they're bad, so don't take that wrong. But I happen to notice that our attendance lately has been in the 20s. Anybody notice that? Has. It's come up. You know what God is doing? God is blessing this church. And when I started here, I had this expectation that within a few months, God would just fill it right up. And boy, was I disappointed when it didn't happen. And I had to finally say, you know what? I started to doubt. And I said, Lord, You take over. You have this church, and You do with it what You need to, and You make it grow. And you know where growth starts first? I'd rather have 20 or so people who have a good heart and who want to grow here first. Because if we don't grow here first, and if we don't grow in the Lord, then we're not going to be very effective to others who start to come in. And I'm so thankful for the ones that have been coming, everybody, and our new ones that have been coming. So just so thankful for what God is doing here. 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'll say this, I'm going to close. If we would spend our time praying and praising the Lord, singing, reading the Bible, doing acts of kindness for others, seeking God through everything, you know what? I believe that Satan would leave you alone. See, what grows in your life the fastest is the one that you feed the most. How many of you ever heard that? My grandmother told me that. You can either feed the things of God and you'll grow. She said, you're not going to have an easy life, but He's right there with you. Or she said, you could feed the things of the enemy and that's going to grow and it'll kill you. And there's no hope in it. She said, so feed the things of God. Feed the things of the Spirit. And she said, you will grow into a fine Christian young man. I thank God that I had such a wise grandmother who spent the time to share the Lord with me.